this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977. We always like to thank the station for hosting us and working to make this happen. Of course, we have working the buttons and dials over there and making this work, Mr. John McKay.
I always wanted to work on a transmission. Those old Amco commercials.
You know. How are you doing this week, McKay? You look a little weathered over there. I mean, you look a little hot.
Well, yeah, spending a lot of time out playing baseball and...
That makes
100 degrees.
Yeah, no doubt. It has been the absolute heat wave. I'm glad we did that show on preparing your home for summer.
That was good.
A month or two ago, because it is here for sure. We have with us in the studio our in-house lending expert, Mr. Tom Coyne with Umpqua. Tom, how are you this week?
You know, I am doing fantastic, Lance. Thanks for having me.
Good. Glad to have you back. And you've survived the heat to make it in, too, huh?
Yeah, I have. I wish I could wear shorts and flip-flops to work, but...
Yeah, that doesn't work for the clients too well.
No, it doesn't.
I totally understand that for sure. Well, even though it has been in the triple digits, we're still out showing houses. Great reminder, anybody out there that has a vacant home, funny things start to happen at triple digits inside homes without air conditioners on or windows open. So just a reminder to be checking up on that stuff. You know, one of the things about showing homes this time of the year is that people will stay in a home if they're comfortable. So your tendency is to leave the thermostat at 90 and save on the power bill. But this time of year, when you get out of a nice air-conditioned car and you go in to show a house, and you go from 70 to 90.
Lance turns around to show them, and they're all passed out on the floor.
Yeah, we don't stick around in there too often. So so it might be tempting, but try to keep that house as comfortable as possible.
You ever had a sale fall through because of that?
Because somebody passed out?
No, because somebody left the, you know, they walked in the house, and it was hot, and just...
You know, there's been houses where we've shown and the people just won't stay in the house. I've never had a sale fall through because of it, but I've had people make other choices during the showing. Where a house that I thought would be great for them, but we end up, they just won't stay in there very long. I mean, it's sweltering out there, and sometimes it's 100 in there. I mean, they'll be in there and be like, nah, I don't like it, and they'll just leave. I mean,
wow. And
really not even look at it. So,
if anything, set that thermostat to go up at night when probably less people are coming to see it.
Yep, absolutely.
Turn it down during the day.
That's absolutely right. Very good advice. Well, before we jump into our topic this week, we always like to report on the crazy celebrity real estate. And I tell you what, this house is absolutely fantastic. And what it is it's called the Carrollwood Estate in L.A., and it was Walt Disney's former residence, once owned by Walt Disney. That house went ahead and it has sold. It was a private sale, never even hit the multiple listing service. It's the fourth most expensive house to sell in the United States this year at $74 million. So, interestingly enough, it's rumored and reported that it is not a U.S. buyer, that was a foreign buyer that picked that up. That house was sold, I mean, it's crazy, 35,000 square feet.
Wow.
Eight bedrooms and 17 bathrooms. 17! Okay, so that is, and the swimming pool, staircases, I mean, movie room, two safe rooms, I guess, in case you can't run from all the way to the other side of the house.
Running from the ghost.
So you got two safe rooms to pick from. So pretty crazy, but one of the most expensive home sales in the U.S. This year. So Walt Disney himself had lived there, and then it had been sold to an investment banker, and now off to a foreign buyer. So pretty crazy, but those are big dollar deals. Now, one of the things that we always are looking at on the show is talking to people that know way more than we do. You probably get tired of listening to Tom and
That's why I bring all of you in.
Exactly. So, no, we like to get people in that have very specific parts of a real estate transaction and kind of get a different perspective on what happens. And one of the biggest things is that when you're making a huge, huge purchase, like a home, you want to make sure that, number one, that title is transferred over to you as the new owner, and that there are not any surprises or liens or encumbrances or history on that home. And so the way that's done is through our local title insurance companies. So we brought in with us just one of the absolute best at this. We have Dylan Straight with Stewart Title and Escrow. So Dylan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Lance. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I know. I know you guys do a ton of closings and are always very busy. So thanks for taking the time to be here. And number one, before we start, I just want to thank you for all the help with all of our clients. You help a large number of our clients. Not only through the escrow side, but through the title insurance side. So thanks for that. But before we dive in here, I guess we always put our guests into the ringer a little bit. So you're not going to get away without telling us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about yourself. How long in this business?
This will be my ninth year in the business, Lance. I grew up in Yakima and spent a lot of time down here in Tri-Cities playing athletics growing up. So it's been fun to live and work here and see the success that our company's had in the market.
Okay, now, and then how did you get into the business? I mean, here you are, you're out there playing football one day and
right.
Think, I'm going to graduate college and go into title insurance.
Yeah. just what everybody dreams of.
Just like Tom and I.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I was actually going to be an attorney. I had gotten into various law schools and started working for Stewart Title in between that and liked it, and a lot of attorneys that I spoke with weren't wild about being attorneys, so
yeah.
I enjoyed what I was doing and received some promotions within the company and kind of just stuck.
Well, fantastic. And then how long at this branch?
Been here 5 years in September and don't plan on going anywhere else. Love it here, and like I said, the market's great and have developed a great relationship, so it's been a lot of fun.
Well, fantastic. Well, we're glad to have you here and the level of service that you're bringing for sure. So for our listeners out there, this is kind of one of those things that people have heard about. If they've never bought a house though before, you know, a first-time home buyer especially, you just really don't know what it is. I mean, we get the questions
sure.
a lot where the buyer will look and they'll be like, what is title insurance? So I guess just kind of take us back to the basics to
yeah,
start off today
sure.
before
basically,
it gets too crazy.
Sure. Just a brief overview. Title insurance is a one-time premium that's paid at the time of closing, different than homeowner's insurance, which is reoccurring. And it's basically a policy that we issue that protects the buyer, the seller, and the lender from any defaults, issues with the property, assessments, so on and so forth. Never would want to purchase property without it, because if something is wrong with the property, there's a lien, so on and so forth, we're on the hook for ensuring that that gets taken care of.
So what you're talking about is that somebody else could have made a, like when you say lien, like a claim against
sure.
the property. Maybe
yeah.
maybe a contractor did a
sure.
job and never
mechanics
got paid.
Mechanics lien, bankruptcy, money judgments get filed against real property. Divorces get occur and real property is involved in that.
Somebody gets sued.
Somebody gets sued. Yeah, there's delinquent taxes. There's delinquent homeowners association dues.
And so if somebody's doing, like I picture in my mind, somebody doesn't know better, they're doing a private sale, you know, between two parties. They see a piece of land and
sure.
they're like, oh yeah, I'll buy that land from you, and for $15,000
right.
bucks, it seems like a great deal.
Right.
So they just pay it outright and do it.
Sure.
Never contact a title company.
Right.
You're telling me those things would follow the land.
Right. All that stuff sticks to the land, and one of the other things we verify is the guy that you're talking to actually has the right to sell the property.
Right.
Ooh. What about his ex-wife that has an ownership interest in it as well?
Okay, gotcha. So that makes a lot of sense, and I think that's what people a lot of times, you know, don't realize is how much can actually follow the land. And,
sure.
And if you're paying $15,000, you don't want to inherit $30,000.
Right.
Of a problem.
Yeah, I don't remember what the actual percentage is, but it's pretty high. The American Land Title Association, I know it's over 50%, estimates that there's curative action done by the title company at the time of closing on over half of all real estate transactions in America.
Wow. And we see it a lot, and that does not surprise me, because we see a lot of files come across our desk, and we see things, and a lot of times people on there, you know, they really just had no idea that
sure.
that stuff was attached or on there.
Yeah, a lot of times we'll call sellers at the time that a purchase and sale is submitted to us can kind of go through a basic questionnaire, and our search yields stuff that they either forgot about or didn't know about existed.
Okay, yeah. Absolutely. And then who does that policy protect?
And what it protects, like I said, the buyer, the lender, and the seller.
Okay.
Going forward. So pretty much all parties involved in the transaction.
And then what is, I mean, you know, a lot of times we get the question from people is, how much does it cost to get this?
Sure. In the grand scope of things, it's a pretty relatively inexpensive cost associated with the real estate transaction. And like I said before, it's only a one-time fee. It's about 1% usually of the total.
Of the total sales price.
Right.
Okay, gotcha. That makes a lot. And that's right in line with what I see throughout things. So.
Right.
Very good. And then the other question we run into a lot is, who pays for it?
Sure. In Washington State, the seller pays for the owner's coverage, and then the buyer pays for the lender's coverage, and that's disclosed on the good faith estimate that Tom provides.
So that's one of the other questions we get, too, is people will look at these statements and say there's two charges. So,
right.
So what you're saying is the first policy,
right.
you called it the owner's policy.
Yeah,
that's the seller's buying that.
Sure.
For who?
For the buyer and the seller. They're paying for it as part of the purchase and sale agreement. And if there was a claim on that owner's policy, then that would protect the buyer and the seller.
So that protects the seller, too. They're getting
Correct.
Rid of this property. They
yep.
think it's free and clear.
Yep.
And if the buyer comes back to them and said, hey, you didn't have the right
yep.
to sell this, the seller's protected.
Seller's protected. They submit a claim form to us. We review it, and then pay the error, basically.
Oh, very interesting. You know, I'm not even sure. I mean, I do this all the time.
Right.
And that's a little twist on the perspective.
I hate to say it, but I thought owner's title was strictly for the seller.
Nope. It basically it protects both parties. It protects both parties.
Oh,
the seller that's conveying the title, and then ultimately the buyer that will then occupy the property.
Tom, this is why we have guests that know more than we do.
Absolutely.
Well, very, very good. That is really, really interesting type of things. Now, and I was thinking, you know, before I came to the show, I'm like, what's a couple of examples that have happened recently? You know, we had one where a gentleman had paid off a loan about 8 years ago, but there was still a
sure.
lien against the property
right.
or deed of trust against property.
Right.
And he goes, I paid that loan off like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And what had happened is that bank had sold to sure. another bank. So it wasn't even in the
yeah.
name of yeah. the existing bank.
Yeah, we've seen that a lot lately, Lance, with just all the changes in the mortgage industry, bank consolidations, mergers, buyouts, to where someone's loan's paid off, there's a zero balance, but in the middle of that, the financial institution that was handling the loan was sold to another company or consolidated, and a reconveyance or release was never filed of record.
So that's what it is. They have to release that
yep.
to reconvey that.
Exactly.
And we couldn't close that transaction until you guys had that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and so, I mean, that's one of those things where you're trying to search and find,
yeah.
and find people and those type of things going on. The other one we had happen was we had had a contractor had filed a lien against the property for some work done that there was a dispute on, hadn't been paid for. Well, then that contractor went out of business and moved.
Yep.
And we couldn't close that transaction until we got that cleared.
Yep. In Washington State, a contractor or subcontractor has 90 days subsequent to the certificate of occupancy being filed against the property to file a lien.
Right.
So, we can close today, and 2.5 months from now, if the builder doesn't pay their subcontractor, they can file a lien against the property, and it is a valid lien. So another huge reason, especially in new construction circumstances, to get title insurance.
Absolutely. So a lot to think about for sure. We've got more to talk about when we come back. We'll talk a little bit with Tom Coyne at Umpqua, and we'll grill Dylan on some more scenarios with title insurance when we come back.
Right here on Newstalk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been here talking about title insurance, why you need it, why you should not be purchasing property unless you have it, and some of the different scenarios and reasons why. Before we talk a little bit more about that, let's get a lending update from Tom at Umpqua. Tom, how's things going over there on your side?
You know, it's going great, and I wanted to chat a little bit about the new construction loan that we've rolled out. And we've talked a little bit about it in the past, but I'm going to tie that back to Dylan here at the end, because they play a very active role throughout the, both the processing of the loan and then the build as well. So these construction loans are for clients who are wanting to build a house, and the builder is maybe doing custom construction where the builder is not going to finance the build. So they require that the borrower gets their own financing from us to provide financing throughout the construction. It's completely different than traditional financing. Now, our program is a one-time closed construction. We'll close up front before they ever start building on the house. We lock that interest rate in up front. That rate is the same through the build as it is after the home's completed. We just have a flat lender fee of $1,495 on all loan amounts, whether it's $200,000 or $800,000. So it's really nice to not have that 1% fee that a lot of people see out there. It just is an extremely low fee structure on these construction loans. Now, we require 10% down payment, and that includes jumbo loan amounts, which are over $417,000. And I think next year, once we've done a little bit more of these transactions, a relatively new program, we're going to get some preferred builders set up. And for those guys, we're going to offer financing for their customers at 5% down.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Very, very excited to get a little bit further into having this program to be able to have some builders out there who can say they're preferred builder with us. Now, if a client has a piece of property that they either own outright or maybe they have some equity in it that they're going to build on, we can count that equity as their down payment. So that helps a lot of people out in making up that 10%. Now, during the build, the client pays interest only on the amount of draws the builder has taken up to that point. Generally, at closing, the first draw is to go pay off the property. So then they'll make interest-only payments off of that amount. So it's nice because during the build, they don't have to pay for their entire $300,000 build. They just pay for what's been used up to that point. Maybe at the next month, the builder requests a draw because the permits have all been paid for and the foundation's done and framing's done, and so he requests another draw for $50,000. Now the client's going to start paying for the land plus the $50,000, and this goes on and on until the home's done. And when the home's done, we just roll it over into traditional financing. Now, throughout the build, we require that we get what's called title date downs, and that's where Stewart Title comes in. I was hoping you can explain, what are title date downs, why do you do them, who are they for?
Typically, you bet, Tom. Typically, we date down our commitment to ensure that nothing's changed on the property, that no liens have been filed, so on and so forth.
And so this is throughout the build. So let's say the builder maybe didn't pay their framer after they took the draw. And really, we wouldn't know about that unless you've updated that title report through the build.
Right, exactly. That's why it's important. Basically, it's just a refresher on the initial commitment.
Okay, perfect. So that's there definitely to protect the buyers, to make sure that your builder's doing their part and paying their subs when we pay them.
And then you're having to look at those, Tom, and then approve those, and then they'll approve those draws based upon that.
Well, yeah, exactly. So from my experience, it seems like, let's say we have a six-month build, you'll probably date down, what, four times
or
so?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Somewhere in there. So it's just a great tool to have that, well, we require, but it really is designed to protect us and the home buyer in case things come up down the road. So we're really, really excited about this construction loan program. Definitely call if you have any questions about it or want to talk about your build.
Perfect. Great information, Tom. And I want to thank you, too, Tom. I had a call from a fantastic first-time home buyer earlier this week, and he was literally like, I've saved my down payment, and it was a huge down payment, but I don't have any credit because I've been, you know, living with roommates, and I pay cash for everything and pay cash for my bills. And I mean, this is like the guy that the bank should be drooling over, and he calls me because he's like, it's going to be tough to get a mortgage, and so-and-so said I couldn't get one, and I'm like, whoa, 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 sit, hold down, so slow down a little bit. No, this is not right. Got him over to Tom, and Tom just knocked it out of the park. He's approved now and looking for a house.
So he's as clean as he comes. And, you know, a lot of people are out there just like him where they really follow, like, say, what Dave Ramsey believes in.
Yep, absolutely.
And don't get credit. Don't extend yourself. Well, a lot of times when you do that, doesn't help your credit scores. It really leads to lack of credit. But we have ways of building alternative credit. He's a great client, overly qualified. Glad I could help.
Yeah, and I'm glad you could do that. And that's a great transaction. And we're putting somebody that really deserves to be in a home and has done all the right things into a home. So
absolutely.
Thanks for helping them out. And that's just another great transaction that we'll be working on again soon. So back to a little bit more about title and escrow. So Dylan, I know there's a lot of title and escrow companies in town, and you know, we work closely with Stewart and have a lot of experience at a bunch of them. But why Stewart? I mean, I know why we're there, but from your perspective, what's the difference at Stewart?
I think the big thing, Lance, is just, I mean, realistically, I mean, if you want me to be honest, all title and escrow companies across the state of Washington do the same thing.
Right.
We provide the same service. It's not like an iPhone and a BlackBerry. I mean, we do the same thing day in and day out.
Right.
There's no difference in what we can offer the client. I think the big thing is just efficiency, professionalism, flexibility, and then just making not losing sight of the fact that we want anybody that has a transaction in our office to leave and make sure that it's a great experience. And if it's not a great experience, then I want to know about it and make it right. But I guess definitely the thing that's got us to the top here is just being quick to respond to people's needs, being flexible and professional. I mean, we do stuff on weekends, early mornings, nights. We understand that people have jobs and have schedules, and sometimes the 8-to-5 thing doesn't always work. And our big goal is to make sure that, like I said, people get in their home and they're happy with the service we provided. So.
Now, yeah, and I got to ask you sometimes, I mean, like, so we've talked about title, but what's the escrow? It's Stewart Title and Escrow. What's the, speaking of that and that customer service that you brought up, what's the escrow side of that?
Sure. Escrow, the title is basically, like I said before, a title insurance commitment. It's the search of the property. We ultimately, after closing, issue a policy based off that search. The escrow is kind of the settlement agent portion of the transaction. We handle all the monetary funds associated, work off the purchase and sale agreement, work with the lender, being Tom, to ensure that their loan documents, buyer loan documents, are executed properly, that the loan funds in accordance with their lender instructions, and that all monies that are apportioned to the transaction are paid out correctly. The mortgage is paid off, excise tax is paid, property taxes are paid. If there is bankruptcy, trust, judgment, that all those items are cleared. So that's what the escrow agent does, is basically just ensure that everything's taken care of to ensure that the property's free and clear and that ownership is transferred correctly.
Yeah, and that's a lot. I mean, I look at these HUD statements and stuff, and you guys are making sure that you're prorating the taxes for the day of closing. So each party only pays their certain amount of taxes. You're paying, like you said, you're paying off those mortgages and writing those statements. I mean, that is a lot to do.
Yeah, it's definitely a job that's not for everybody. It requires a lot of attention to detail. You have to be able to multitask and move pretty quickly when you get down to deadlines as far as closing goes. So, yeah, it is a lot. out, and you definitely have to be paying attention or bad things can happen.
And you know, I want to say I can't thank Stuart enough. I mean, they are there for us so often. You know, they're kind of the behind-the-scenes people, but as a lender, we rely on them so heavily for what we do. And if it takes 2 weeks to get a title report before I can even send our file to underwriting, then that's going to set us behind. And so you guys are always punctual. You know, your escrow officers, geez, one of them just went in on Sunday to sign one of Lance's and I's mutual clients. I mean, you guys always go out of your way to make it work for us, and we really appreciate it.
And I got to tell you, too, that you don't always know when the – I don't know how you do it, because you don't always know when those loan docs are coming out. I mean, we just decide 45 days in advance that we're going to close on August 19th, mm-hmm. and then now we're going to line up the 97 things we have to do to make that happen on that exact day.
Sure.
I mean, you guys are not signing people till those loan docs come in. I mean, sometimes you have 2 hours' notice.
Yeah, it's a very time-intensive job, and, I mean, we've just set office standards for production that are non-negotiable with me as the manager, and we have great people that have risen to the challenge and made sure that those standards are met. And like I said, it's just our job to basically make the realtor and the lender that are associated with the transaction look good there at the tail end, so their clients have a great experience and then come back to them for their next deal when that occurs.
Well, that sounds great. Well, thanks a lot for that and teaching us. I mean, Tom and I both picked up some new stuff today, and the audience did, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, we always, when we bring a guest on and stuff, we always make them tell the crazy story about their career.
Sure.
So I wrote down, you know, what is the craziest title issue that you think you've seen? Please keep names anonymous.
Right.
You know,
I mean, I've had some funny stories probably to share of just little things that have went on, little ripples over the years with people. But I think the one that sticks out to me the most is we had a deal, Lance, where it was just horrendous title report. It was a bankruptcy. There were judgments. There was a deceased spouse that his portion of the property hadn't been probated. There wasn't a will. It was a kind of an elderly lady that was selling to a family member, and of course we got to identify are there other potential heirs, so on and so forth. And I guess the thing that made it so tough, and my pitch here today for what you do, is that it was a for sale by owner on both sides.
Us as
an escrow company are really limited from a legal standpoint as to how involved we can be. We're pretty much a disinterested third party that
Absolutely.
Has to work off of written instructions. So, I mean, that would be just my pitch for anybody out there.
And so you probably weren't getting the best written instructions.
No, we weren't, and we really, I mean, there were several times that I just said, you know, I'm sorry, but I can't.
Yeah,
I can't
you
give
have
you
to
advice
send it to an attorney.
Yeah, and so I mean, that would just be my biggest pitch for anybody that's looking to buy or sell property: is have representation, get a realtor. I mean,
yes,
what you guys
absolutely.
Do is so vital to the overall success of the transaction, and it would have made my life a lot easier.
Well, wow, I wasn't expecting that. Bankruptcy, divorce, deceased spouse,
no
judgment, probate.
No probate.
That is fantastic.
Why do dead people?
Well, that is a crazy one for sure. You did not disappoint at all. Well, folks, that is title and escrow, and it is so important for what we do, and really just kind of part of having an amazing dream team of service providers that can help you out, that know each other's systems. I mean, it's really a well-oiled machine between Kenmore team, Tom, Qua and Stuart, and it really works well, and we really appreciate working with everybody. So thanks for teaching us about title and escrow. I'm sure we'll be calling you with plenty of potential questions. If people need to get a hold of you, what's the office number at Stuart if people have questions about title and escrow?
It's 783-8300.
Okay, great, and you can always go to kenmoreteam.com and shoot me a message if you missed that. Tom, best way to get a hold of you?
Well, don't confuse it with Stuart.
I do get calls.
That is 783-73.
Oh, wow. So I'm the odd man out.
No,
I didn't get the memo when you guys got your phone.
No.
Okay, perfect. Well, we'll be right back here next week
on News Talk 870.